Tonight's guest is Max Egan, a researcher, truth seeker, radio host, filmmaker, and one of the leaders of the Global Awakening Movement. This man is a must-listen for all those serious about stopping the corrupt, parasitic NWO system in its tracks. Max lives in Queensland, Australia, and continues to bring mind-bending, paradigm-shattering information to the public. You can find Mr. Egan's work at www.thecrowhouse.com. He's also on YouTube, where a ton of information and research on multiple topics is available.
Pleasure to be back, brother. Thanks for asking me on.
Absolutely. You know, I had the opportunity to speak with you back in 2012, and even then, your information and insight was substantially ahead of its time. There's so much going on right now on the global stage with China, Japan, Syria, Iran, the U.S., Germany, etc. What do you think is taking place behind the scenes as far as a possible push towards World War III?
Well, look, you know, World War III, whether it'll happen or not, it's a debatable point. They don't really need it to happen. It works as a great tool to keep people in fear, but they don't really need it to happen. With what they're doing in Syria, what they're doing in the Middle East, which is essentially the Greater Israel Project, is what we're seeing unfold in the Middle East. I mean, forget all the concept of these terrible ISIS terrorists and stuff. This is a Western-run operation designed to destabilize that area and push a whole bunch of refugees into Europe and into all Western countries. They're accepting refugees in America. We're also accepting them here in Australia. They've been doing terror drills here in Australia before accepting the refugees. What's going to happen is they can bring all these refugees in to completely destabilize the Middle East, just a huge, huge influx of migrants and Muslims into Europe. All they have to do is stage a few terror attacks around Europe and they can lock the whole place down into police states. Because when this happens, if they stage it, you've got all these, whole bunch of refugees come to Germany. And apart from the fact that you've got Muslims from the Middle East living in Germany in a tent city, I mean, it's freezing in Germany. I don't know how these people are going to survive. They come from a really, really hot climate to a really, really cold one, and they're living in tents, you know. So it's going to be very unsettled there. But as soon as you stage a terror attack anywhere in that country, you'll see race riots develop. You'll see all this animosity develop towards all the Muslims in the area, all the refugees in the area. This will mean they will have to lock down the place into martial law. Well, see, they don't need World War II. World War III. They don't need to do it. That's not really what it's about. What it's about is the fear of World War II, the threat of this terrible disaster, and a mechanism by which to lock down all Western countries. And that's what they're using it for. This is the way it's being played. You watch. They've done terror drills here. I fully expect them to stage a terrorist attack in Sydney probably next year while the Commonwealth Games are on, somewhere around there, while there's a distraction happening. And I'll blame it on the refugees. And, of course, we'll know it was the refugees because they're Muslims, you know. Like this, it's a play. The whole thing's a play. I mean, sure, well, Putin and Iran and stuff may get together to try to stop it, but really they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance against all the Western countries if it turns into something like that. And the Western countries don't really need to do that. They can lock all of their countries down into this control grid that they're building, and they can just slowly squeeze Russia out of existence. And you know, Russia will hold on a little bit. It'll hold on while it can. And they can just vilify Iran as much as they want and just take that out whenever they want once they've got control of everybody. And once they've staged a few terrorist attacks around the rest of the world, everyone's going to look a lot more favorably towards the concept of invading Iran because, of course, it must be Iran who's supplying them with all the weapons. I mean, where else could they possibly be coming from, you know? It couldn't be the $103 billion that the United States has funneled into the Middle East and all of this stuff. Oh, no, it's got nothing to do with it. So, you know, it's a play. The whole thing's a play. Will World War III happen? I really doubt it. I really, really doubt it. I don't think they need it. You know, I think it's going to go a different way. I think there's so many cards in play here, and the response to this system is so split and divided. But there is still a way out. I mean, right in the middle of it all, I believe there's a golden opportunity for freedom, and that is Palestine. And I can expand on that if you want.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to elaborate on that. But you bring up how they don't need World War III. there's all these people that are just, you know, this mass exodus right now out of countries like Syria because it's turning into a, you know, hellacious area out there because of all the war that's going on. But it just seems as if it's this synchronized exodus. The research that I've done, Max, most of the refugees that are coming into all these Western countries, you know, Germany, abroad, are actually men in prime age and physical status for fighting. So,
it's all been fully synchronized, mate. You can't have the race riots without that. You know, it's all a setup. This whole refugee crisis is manufactured. It's about bringing all these people into Europe and destabilizing Europe and just erupting it all into race war. See, if we can have World War III, sure, and where it's going to happen, it'll happen in the suburbs of all of our countries. And we'll be all fighting amongst each other. Divide and conquer, that is the motto. And that's all they need to lock us down into martial law. And that's how World War III will be fought. It'll be fought in the suburbs. It won't be fought by going and bombing other countries. We're fighting World War III already. Just because of the racist, divisionist attitude that we've got in our cities. Just the fact that they've brought all these migrants in and they've set them up in their own communities. You've got the Arab quarter and the Chinese quarter and the this quarter and the that quarter. Nobody's integrated into the societies. It's all, we've already got World War III happening in the suburbs already. It's just boiling. It just hasn't boiled over yet. And they can do that by doing certain moves on the global stage, and it'll erupt in all of our countries. And they're setting it up that way. That's the way it's been played, to my eyes anyway.
And last month, there was that enormous explosion in China, Tianjin. I don't know if I pronounced that properly, but the chemical plant that exploded left a enormous amount of, destruction. There were thousands of cars that were just completely decimated, hundreds of 40-foot shipping containers that looked like they got thrown around like a box of cereal or something like that. And many people are speculating that that might have been caused by a space weapon called the Rod of God. And it happened immediately after the third day the Chinese lowered the price of their currency. Some people speculate that the U.S. created that enormous explosion to tell the Chinese to back off and quit messing with the global stage. What are your thoughts on that?
It's quite possible, you know, how it was done. I mean, we can speculate on how it was done. Some people will say space-based lasers or satellites. Some people will say HAARP. Some people will tell you that that's not possible because there's no space. I mean, we can speculate on how it was done all we want, but it's very likely that it was instigated by the US. There was a lot of stuff set to go down this month with Chinese currency and all sorts of stuff, and I sort of looked at this, and I got some words from some banker friends a few months ago that things were going to probably go pretty pear-shaped in September if things continued the way they are. But the game's changed very, very much since then with what's erupted in Syria and Yemen and this refugee situation, and the US dollar's gotten very strong, and the game's changed a lot since then. And like you say, with this big explosion in China, I mean, anything's possible. I wouldn't be surprised if it was instigated by the West. How it was done, I won't even begin to speculate.
Okay, that's perfectly fair. And you talked to some of your banker friends. You said, are they from other parts of the country? Are they all in Australia? Or
well, it's one particular person that I know who owns a string of banks, and he said that they're very concerned, that the banker community was concerned that when BRICS Bank came online, which I believe was a couple of days ago, that it may trigger the end of the US dollar as the global reserve currency. Whether that'll happen by the end of September, I don't know. With the wars and the world in the state that it's in, I don't think it will. I think it's been a red herring. I think it's been a great tool to get everybody crying wolf as well. You know, they can do it otherwise. Like I said, this refugee crisis is really, really going to change things. When you get all these people coming into all of our countries, it's really, really going to change things because of the way they're going to play it.
And do you think that many of them are going to make it into the U.S. or mostly in Europe?
Well, it seems to be mostly Europe. I think Obama's agreed to take some refugees, hasn't he? I'm not sure. I think
yes.
He has. I know our Prime Minister has agreed to take 12,000 refugees or something. Of course, he's agreed to go and bomb, so he's been really, really pushing to go and bomb Syria at the same time. I mean, you know, it's so contrived. We can't accept refugees without being given the opportunity to go into Syria and first create some refugees. We've got to keep it in balance, you know. That's the way he thinks. But he got kicked out last night, actually, our Prime Minister. That's a great thing. Of course, we've got the next sociopath in line, who's an ex-investment banker who's stepping up to the throne. So I can imagine what we're going to get from this guy. He'll come in and present himself as a moderate, and then he'll lock us all down into cap and trade. And, of course, he won't roll back anything that the previous puppets have done. I mean, it's another play to try to save face. But, yeah, it's all being contrived. It really is. I mean, maybe if Obama's accepted refugees, you know, I'd say the same play will go on over there. You know, they're going to do it everywhere. This is what they're doing. Even now in Germany, they've brought in border guards and all sorts of stuff. They've locked the German border down to deal with the massive influx of refugees, which they first said they were going to just let into the country because, of course, there's no travel limits around Europe. Anyone can travel freely from country to country. But they're not allowing free movement into Germany at the moment because of the massive refugee crisis. This could be because they, I don't know whether it was a setup or not, but apparently there was a container on a ship that was marked as food and supplies and clothing for the refugees in Germany that was apparently full of weapons. So whether that's a setup, I mean, they seem to have found it quite easy. I mean, who's going to put a container full of weapons on a ship and think they're going to get it through? I mean, come on, you know.
Do you think that was a staged event, or I mean, what's the deal with that?
Of course, it was a staged event. It's done to so that you know, there's all these ISIS terrorists coming in with these refugees. We had a guy come on a few weeks ago and said, "Oh yes, we've put all these ISIS members. You just wait and see what's happening. You know, we're gonna infiltrate into all your countries, and we're gonna start all this stuff." They already put that out there. So they're painting this picture in the mind of the public. And really what we've got here is 800,000 people fleeing a war zone that the West has created. And even with some of them coming in, there may be some people that are not particularly nice. And in a way, you can't blame them. We've probably just blown up all their families, you know. Of course, it isn't the people that on the ground in the places that they're going, but that just isn't how the human mind works, you know. So anything is possible from this, but they're creating, you know, purposely creating an extremely volatile situation, and all it's going to take is one little spark, and it's going to ignite globally, and they're putting the forces in place to allow it to ignite globally so they can bring in this whole system that they want to bring in. That's what all this is about.
Yeah, it just certainly seems like all of a sudden there's this mass exodus of these refugees. And I feel there's something behind the scenes orchestrating these events to take place for future agendas. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely confirming my thoughts on that. Now, Germany has introduced border checks, and they're halting trains to stop some of these refugees. But, I mean, aren't the people at the top levels there in Germany allowing them to come in, or is it outside influences that is, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out. It seems like, you know,
well, you've got to make it look dangerous. You've got to make these people look dangerous. You've got to make the whole thing look dangerous. And you've got to start introducing police and checkpoints and all this sort of stuff again. You've got to get people used to what's coming. They've got to get used to seeing guards around. They've got to see it as necessary. You get a huge flood of refugees coming. So 800,000 people on the border. Well, Jesus, we're going to have to put some control in here just to process these people because they could have weapons. They could have this. These are all from the Middle East. Oh my God, they could all be terrorists. So we've got to have the guards. We've got to have, it gets people used to it again. Germany's the perfect place to set it up, of course, isn't it? Perfect place to set it up. So yeah, it's all theater for the masses, brother.
Yeah. Okay. And you know,
that makes sense to you looking at how they've got to play this. And like when you combine that with the like I just said, the container of weapons that they just found, you can see that they've got to set this whole meme up, you know?
Yeah, it just seems too good to be true. There's this YouTube video of this giant container that has all these weapons in it, and like you said, it's theater. It's absolutely theater, man.
It is. I mean, and people can't see through it. I mean, God help us, but it is. It's theater for the masses.
Well, and then you've got these, you know, false flags that seem to take place on a regular basis out here in the U.S. right now. You know, every month there's this mass shooting where you've got some mentally incompetent individual that goes and shoots somebody live on TV or behind the scenes. And the most recent was this guy, Vester Flanagan. What a very odd name. But I've done some research on this character, and he's actually been in commercials previously where he was promoting gun control with the news, the local news that he was with. And then just one day he throws, has this crazy fit and goes and shoots this anchor woman that he says is racist, supposedly. It just seems staged to me. I watched the shooting take place from his GoPro camera, his first person view, and The lady didn't even flinch. I mean, she got scared and she ran away, but he fired multiple shots at close range, and I didn't see any blood. I didn't see any, flinching, just running away.
Did you see any casings being ejected from the gun?
No. I mean, they sounded sounded like blanks. I mean, it sounded real, but I certainly didn't see any casings or anything else. And then some more research I did, there could have actually been two takes of that specific scene. And if that's the case, I mean, that's the smoking gun.
Well, yeah, actually, a friend of mine spotted that. A friend of mine called Peter actually made that video. He put it out there. It went viral, got 500,000 views in a couple of days, 500,000 views in a couple of days. Yeah, and there appears to be two takes. It's an interesting, very interesting shooting, that one. Of course, I mean, I know someone who knows someone who said they were at the funeral, and, also, but it's always someone who knows someone. I mean, I don't know, but when you look at it, it seems very, very suspicious. And it's all about gun control, and yeah, it's all about gun. And her father and all that, he's a known actor. The guy they had on TV as a father. I mean, these guys are actors. They're all actors. I mean, what's going on? Who do we believe? And the whole way this guy's been set up as her boyfriend, and it's proven that he's not her boyfriend, and all of this. So he happens to have this photo album of these. Who has a photo album these days? Do you have a photo album of you and your girlfriend? I mean,
Only on my smartphone.
Exactly. It's all digital these days. Who has a photo album they can show the news right on cue and all this sort of stuff? And, and there's no tears. And come on. This is a setup. It's a setup.
Well, and how about the father coming out the next day? And the only emotion that he really seemed to show was when they started talking about gun control.
Exactly. And he's an actor. He's actually performing in a theater production at the moment. So, yeah, he's an actor.
Wow. And what's your take on the Dylan Roof, Confederate flag, run into a church and gun down a bunch of black people because he's supposedly racist? Do you think there's any truth to that, or is that another thing that you feel is just a giant false flag staged?
Well, yeah, these are all staged events. It's all they want to create this race war. They want the blacks to hate the whites. They want the whites to hate the blacks. They just want to do it this way. They want to stir up as much tension as they can. I think all of these sorts of things are set up and staged. I really do.
And do you feel that the United States of America is at the, federal government or those within the federal government that want to create this society of no guns except for criminals having guns? Do you think that they're going to get to that level? Do you think that's going to happen anytime soon?
Look, I hope not. I'd like to get to a world where we don't need guns at all. We know one needs guns. I mean, guns are a product of this system. Guns are a product of the state of contrived scarcity that people are forced to live in. When you live in scarcity, you become competitive and you want to hurt each other for your stuff. I need your stuff because I need it to survive, so I'm going to kill you, But we live in a world of abundance. I mean, I'd like to see a world where we don't need guns, but in this world, I think everybody should have a gun, because if everybody had a gun, there wouldn't be any crime, because everyone would be too scared to commit any because they might get shot. So it could work that way. I hope it doesn't get to that stage, but if they bring in a bunch of refugees and they spread them out around the country so that, you don't know where all the terrorists are, and they stage a few little false flags, then, everyone's going to want to hand in their guns. That's the thing. So many people are going to want to, and they're going to be able to present it this way. And if they can create these terror attacks and they can bring in a little bit of martial law, then people simply won't have a choice. We'll have to take your guns because there may be a terrorist cell nearby that can come and steal them and use them against the president. I mean, God knows what they'll think up, but, And they've just done the Jade Helm exercise, which was a twofold exercise, which was basically dealing with dissidents. It was about dealing with domestic dissidents. If you look at the an acronym for Jade and Jade Helm, what it actually means, it's about, I can't remember the exact words, but it's about eliminating all the local dissidents. That's what it's about, gun owners and dissidents. And it was that was one purpose of the exercise. The other purpose of the exercise was test the AI control grid. Because what they're doing is they're working out an AI system that's all controlled by artificial intelligence. So what you'll have, what you'll have is you've got an AI computer program which is basically designating who the enemy is and what the moves the police should take and all this sort of stuff are. And if you've got programmed into the AI, okay, well, here's who the good guys are. The good guys are the government and the bankers and all the psychopaths. These are all the good guys. And anyone who questions
them. Oh, yeah, they love you.
And anyone who questions them, any dissident against the decision that these psychopaths make, these are bad guys who need to be eliminated. And you can put in the program of the parameters of the system you want to construct, and you can allow the AI to construct it, and then the police will just do what they're told. I mean, anybody who's been in the military, you know that when you go to an operation, you may get told you've got to go and take out a particular cell or go to a particular warehouse, or you've got to go and do some mission, and you don't know what the overall picture is. You just know that you have to go and you have this objective. You've got to go and take out this particular area. And if anybody gets in the way, you kill them before they kill your buddies. You're there to protect your buddies and to achieve the objective. That is your goal in any military situation. And you don't really know what the bigger picture is, how your objective fits in with all the other objectives. You just go and do the objective. And it's the same with the police. So if you've got a police organization which is told by the AI that this particular house or this particular group of people are a threat to the system and that this and this and this, and you need to go and you need to complete this objective, you're going to go and do it, and you're not going to question it. And that's the way they're working it out. And they can do that way. They can bring in this martial law type system just to protect people. And it doesn't necessarily have to be open martial law. It's just got to be a heavy police presence. And then they can run it all from the AI. They've already got tabs on everyone because through the internet, through in particular tracking people's search engine results. See, when you look at a search engine, you're not just looking at people's search results. You combine what people are searching for with what they're chatting about, with what they do on Facebook and what they post on Twitter and what they do on LinkedIn and what they do with all these social media things. You combine it with the chats they have on their mobile phone and the GPS on their mobile phone of where they're going all the time, and you get a very, very comprehensive map of the human terrain. So you know where all the dissidents are. You know who's communicating with who. It's all digitally mapped, and the AI can just figure it out. And the police will just go and do their objectives like the AI tells them to do, and they won't question because they know they're dealing with enemies because the instructions came from HQ. You see how this works? You see what they're putting together here?
Well, I got to jump in here because the artificial intelligence levels now are incredible. Even the AI that they can put together on a smartphone is quite fascinating. So if they've got these giant supercomputers that are the size of, 8 city blocks in circumference with all these incredible, algorithms and data that they're able to put together. And if they can then allow that to funnel through all the computers that people use, personal computers, corporate computers, data banks, satellites, traffic cameras, drones, etc., it could be pretty scary. I mean, this is Skynet in the flesh. And actually, there is a real Skynet that's been around since the late 50s, satellite programs. Skynet, many people might think of the Terminator series, but it's actually a real satellite setup that's in the UK and abroad. But, it's pretty interesting because I had a funeral that I had to attend a couple weeks ago. And when I live out here in San Antonio, Texas, and as I was driving on Highway 10 in the middle of nowhere, there's a drone that literally flew over our car. I was with my wife. We both saw this thing, and it was probably 150 feet max above the car. And I'm telling you, Max, this thing looked like a jet. It was a jet, but it was the size of a car. It was, if anybody could fit in there, it'd be one person, and they wouldn't have any room to move around. And it had, It was like a whitish gray color. It had no markings. And when it came over us, I noticed it on the right, and then it kind of curved a little bit to the left in front of the car, and then it just blasted off at, you know, some crazy speed. But I didn't see any flame coming out the back of it. I didn't hear any noises. And I was just thinking, what in the world is this? It's in the middle of nowhere. Why is it flying over the freeway? And I talked to my wife about it, and she couldn't figure it out either. So we looked for some type of military base or Air Force base that was in proximity, and there's nothing around that area. So whether or not that had anything to do with Jade Helm or this AI software that the government is using to control dissidents or possible control of dissidents, I don't know. But what you're talking about paints a very bleak picture. Artificial intelligence controlling the people, you know, an actual algorithm that's telling people what to do. Do you have any?
Well, yeah.
Do you have any data or information to prove that Jade Helm was actually an AI program or is an AI program at the top levels or close to the top levels?
Look, some of the information that I've got from people would indicate that it is. Go on YouTube and you'll find a whole bunch of people that have done videos about it that have posted a whole bunch of pretty good information about it as well. I mean, sure, okay, you can't believe what's on YouTube, but hey, there is a lot of good stuff on there. And when you look at it, that's what it seems to be. And like you say, the AI intelligence is absolutely going through the roof. It really is. What they're doing here, it's going through the roof. And it makes perfect sense that they would do this. When you look at how they've mapped the human terrain, how they've got all of this stuff. And with Windows 10 now, have you noticed what they're doing with Windows 10 for all the people who use Windows?
Oh, yeah, that's a total spy tool.
As well. Everybody can get Windows 10 for free, all right? Watch out for anything that Microsoft is going to give you for free, because that Windows 10 effectively bugs your home. This whole Cortana thing, it's always recording your voice. It's listening to you all the time. It's watching you all the time. Any picture that you open, it automatically sends the details to Microsoft. Any picture file that you open on your computer, it'll send the details to Microsoft. And you can't turn it off, apparently. There's traffic. Whenever you open a picture, there is traffic between you and Microsoft servers. So they want to know what you're viewing. They want to know what you're doing. They want to know everything about you, and they're listening to everything you do. That's what they're doing with this whole Windows 10 thing. But, yeah, look, there is an awful lot of proof that they're doing this. I mean, you look at the developments in AI and then put a military application to them, and don't think that they're not putting a military application to this stuff. I mean, they put a military application to everything. That's where most of the technology comes from, is from the military. And you look at the capabilities of this stuff and you ask yourself, if you're a psychopath that was running the world, what would you do with this technology? And then look at what's happening around you. Look at the smart grid that they're putting in, how all of the appliances are becoming smart. So your refrigerator's online, everything's online. Your washing machine's online, your toaster's online, all your electricity's all linked up. It's all talking to each other through, you know, wireless, you know. It's all being set up. This whole smart grid's being set up so they know everything about everybody. They know, even know how many times you open the fridge, how many times you turn the toaster on, how many times you use the washing machine, all this sort of stuff. They know everything about everybody. And when they digitize currency, that's all they have to do is digitize currency, and they've got it. They've got everybody. They've got everybody locked into this economically based AI system. And that's where they're going. It's obvious that's where they're going. And they even talk about it, like with Transcendent Man and all the stuff that Ray Kurzweil wants to do and all the things that they've got planned. You can see why they would do this, because then the system runs itself. And it takes all humanity out of the equation. Forget about empathy. Forget about all that sort of stuff. The AI will run the system the way it's programmed to run it. And it'll run it the way it thinks it's best to run, because it's intelligent. And this is where we're going. And you look at the AI, I mean, what are they going to do with this? And what they're using is they're saying, well, the genie's out of the bottle now. You know, we're actually in a stage now where we are able to make AI robots that have lethal capability. We can basically create an AI robot police force that has lethal capability, similar to what you're seeing in films like Elysium, like that.
North Dakota just allowed, they just passed a law where they will allow drones to have tasers.
Exactly. So they're giving AI lethal capabilities. And what they're saying is, well, look, the genie's out of the bottle now. If we don't do this, then someone else will do it and they'll use it against us. That's the excuse that they're using to go ahead with all of this sort of stuff. So, you know, and who took the genie out of the bottle? They did. You know, so you can see where this is going. And when you combine all of that with what they're doing with this refugee crisis, once they lock this down, it's going to be very, very difficult to escape from. But we can still call it out. We can call it out for what it is, because there's a very, very, ultimately, there's a very small group of people that are running all this at the top. And we just have to find a way of getting to them and getting them out of power.
You know, and you say there's just a very small percentage of people at the top levels that are orchestrating all of these events, or the majority of these events. Who are these people, Max? And how do we get to them without, you know, doing something absolutely, you know, I mean, how do we get to them and do something without doing something that's going to be horrific?
Well, it's a good question, and it's an interesting situation that we find ourselves in. It really is. Like, the problem really is the system itself. I mean, there's people that are doing bad things at the very top, like the bankers who control things, who put all this stuff in place. I mean, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, all this sort of crew that are putting all this weird stuff in place. But of course, there's an entire dark agenda going on behind it, the shadow government, whatever you want to call it. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on that we don't even know about, you know, secret organizations in underground bunkers and all sorts of stuff going on around this world. So, you know, to know who the controlling hand above the puppet show that we see, that's another question. What we have to do is realize that the puppet show that we see, the governments that we see in front of us here, these are the barrier between us and what lies behind, that which controls the governments, and which we can speculate on all we want. I can provide you evidence to prove that it's any group of people you want me to prove it is. You know, may sure you can do that. And honestly, I mean, honestly, whatever you want to believe, you give me a week and I'll prepare a slideshow and I'll mount a provable case that can stand as that, but it doesn't make it true. And I've begun to realize this, that all of these conspiracies have been put out there to keep us distracted. I said in my first film in 2008, the best way to hide a real conspiracy is to create a conspiracy culture around it so nobody knows which conspiracy is true. And like I said, I can prove anything you want me to prove, doesn't make any of it true. But what we've got to realize is the government is the barrier between us and what lies behind it. So the government is what we have to deal with. And our government is run by a group of puppets. It's run by a cacistocracy, essentially, is what I call it. Because that's what it is. It's not even an oligarchy. It's a cacistocracy. And, what we need to do is realize that we have to address this situation. We have to get the puppets out of power so we can see what is behind the puppet show. And the way we can do that, I keep telling people, is Palestine. Palestine is the key to the salvation of our situation. And that may sound strange to people, but it is, because Palestine, if we don't fix Palestine, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And Palestine is the key to it all, because in World War II, whatever you want to think about it and whatever you want to think about our legal system and anything, but in World War II, during all of that stuff that happened after World War II, there was a document that was created called the Geneva Convention. And in the Geneva Convention, the Fourth Geneva Convention, it says that collective punishment is a war crime. It's one of the worst war crimes you can do. This was based on the Warsaw Ghetto in Warsaw in World War II, where there was a whole bunch of people just locked into the ghetto and they were just basically left to die. And this was collective punishment, and this was a brutal, brutal war crime. But what we see in Gaza Strip is collective punishment. It's a war crime. In Gaza Strip, you've got 1.8 million people, the average age of which is 17. Now think about that. That is the average age in Gaza Strip, 17. It's a population of children, mostly children. And when Israel goes in and carries out campaigns against this, it dares to call it a war. What it is a war crime. It's collective punishment. It's a war crime. It's a breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention. This is not even a debatable point. Therefore, every single politician in the Western world who supports or funds Israel can be arrested immediately and taken to the Hague for trial for war crimes. People say, oh, we can't use the Hague. That's a UN puppet show. Fine. It's a courtroom. I don't care what it is. It's a courtroom in the middle of Europe, and we can use it. I don't care. Set up a grand jury if you want, because most of the delegates on the UN panel should be taken there as well, because none of them have spoken out against the atrocity, which is Palestine either. Palestine is a human rights abuse and a violation of every single thing that it means to be human, and an absolute war crime, even stated under their legislation, and it's right in everybody's faces. And if we call it out for what it is, We can arrest every politician in this country, every politician in your country, every politician in England, every politician in Europe who has not spoken out and tried to address or has supported this war crime. It's right there in everybody's faces. And if we don't do that and we allow it to continue, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world, because we showed no empathy for this war crime, which has been put right in front of our faces as a golden key to our salvation. And that's the way I see of us getting out of this, because that way we can eliminate this puppet show and we can show the guys behind the puppet show that we actually have the balls to stand up for humanity and call things for what they are. And that we're going to put some honest people in place and put an honest system in place, and we're going to expose the workings of the mechanism behind the puppet show, because now we've stepped into our power and we can do it from that point. I really believe that is the way out. Palestine is giving us a key, a golden key, a golden opportunity. They've been holding out since 2007, waiting for the world to notice what's going on there. And we can use that. It's a mechanism we can use. And yeah, look, the legal system's all messed up. The UN's all messed up. The Hague's all messed up. Doesn't matter. The people at the top, they have to pretend their legal system is real. And the sleeping masses, they think it's real as well. And that is something we can use. That belief is something that we can use. All we have to do is stand up and call things for what they are, brother.
Well, and you bring up the fact that Palestine could be this golden key because of the Geneva Convention and what has taken place out there. But if the powers that be, some people might call them the Illuminati, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Windsors, etc., the Bush family, you know, people like David Icke and his books, like The Biggest Secret, he's been able to pretty much, you've got that 6 degrees of separation, but he's been able to connect almost everybody at these top levels within the U.S. government to ancient pharaohs of Egypt and predating that as well. So wouldn't it be safe to say that even though it's true what you're bringing up about the Geneva Convention and war crimes, the people behind the scenes that actually make judgments in the Geneva Convention are actually controlled by the Illuminati?
Yeah, of course, but we the people are not. And we can use the courthouse. Like I said, we put up a grand jury if you want, because all the people that run these situations, none of them have done anything about this situation. All the people in the UN, all the UN delegates, don't expect to use any of them. I don't want to use any of them. They're all corrupt. Which judge has spoken out about this? Which judge has ruled in favor of Israel in any trial? You put him in there too. You know, I mean, what I'm saying is that the people of the world believe the legal system works. They believe it's real. And the players at the top have to pretend that it is as well. And when you get a massive swelling of humanity that want to stand up and use this system to hold these people accountable for the crimes that they've committed, then the puppet masters at the back have to hang them out to dry. They have to, because otherwise we're going to come for them as well. And if they don't, there'll be a global revolution. You know, it backs them into a corner where we have a chance to remove the puppet show from power and at least regroup and find a way out of this. You know, I mean, I'm not expecting them to pass any just judgments or anything. You know, we'll pass our own judgments, but we need this rising of humanity to stand up and step into their humanity and see this humanitarian crisis that is unfolding. And this crisis, which is Palestine, which has been sitting there since 2007, saying, well, look, if you even have any type of legal system on this planet and you believe is real, here's the key to using the legal system. You know, and we can get every single politician who hasn't addressed this issue, and or every judge who hasn't addressed this issue. We're going to appoint our own judges. You know, once we've got this groundswell of humanity that stands up and simply calls things, you know, and does what's right and calls things out for what they are, I think we can achieve this. You know, I think the real battle here is between love and fear, and it's using the interface of empathy to deal with this situation. You know, and I'm not afraid to stand up and call things out for what they are. And I'm not afraid to call these crimes out for what they are. And the whole world should stand up and call these crimes out for what they are. And if the politicians won't do something about it, well, I don't know. We'll come for them with pitchforks if we have to. But this humanitarian crisis that is being purposely created by this cacistocracy that is running this planet needs to be addressed. And we've got to find a way of getting the information to people in a language that they can understand, using a mechanism that they believe is real. You know, what comes after that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the way out is. But I know that we have a key to awaken the passion and the empathy of humanity, and we can instill into them the belief that they can actually do something about it, because it says there that what is happening here is a war crime. You know, didn't we form the United Nations to stop this very thing from happening? So what the hell is this organization supposed to be? We've had 268 conflicts since they started this organization to end all world conflicts. You know, and the reason it's happening is we're not standing up and calling it out for what it is. And Palestine's giving us the key to do that. And like I said, is this going to bring about this big global healing in one day? Well, no, it's not. But it's a start, and it helps people step into their humanity. I mean, if anyone's got a better idea, I'm all ears. But to me, this is a situation that can unite everybody, and we already have the tools in place with which we can deal with it if we simply step into our power, you know?
Right. And
does that make sense to you? You see where I'm coming from with all this, you know?
Well, I definitely see where you're coming from, and that's why I asked the question, because the Geneva Convention did put in place a lot of rules in wartime, and as you say, these things that are taking place are definitely contradicting those wartime protections with the people. And you've got these individuals in power that seem to have so much influence over the government and the military. I spoke to Douglas Dietrich the other day, actually September 11th, and he was talking about how he feels the reason Congress continues to pass so many bills for the military-industrial complex, even though those bills are quite detrimental to society, is because they have things that, they've done things that have been recorded that these guys can use to blackmail them. Bad things that they've done in the past. So whether or not that's true, I don't know. But I know from the research that I've done, many mafias previously have created brothels and whorehouses for politicians and people in power to go to, and then they record these sexual activities that they do and say, okay, well, if you don't do this, then we're going to show this to your wife or whatever. So. It just seems like, things that have been going on for a long time. But, a good point,
Of course. And even with the one, just to interject there, even with the ones who can't be compromised, that are good, solid married people, all you have to do is show them a photograph of your child, their child, in school, and say, see this little girl, see this little boy, see your wife. You don't want anything bad to happen to them, do you? See that guy over there behind the bushes? He's been convicted with rah, 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 rah. Look at him, see him playing with your daughter there? I mean, we can push this a little further if you want, So you can get him in other ways, They don't have to be compromised in that way. That's what I always want. I always want politicians to be really good, solid family people, because then they got some leverage over them,
Right. So if they've got a good family and they're good people, they can threaten them saying, hey, we're going to take out your child, or we're going to make something bad happen to your wife. And then on the other side of the coin, if they're, doing bad things, they record those things and then they say, hey, we're going to show the world what you're doing. So either way, they're stuck. And that's very difficult for people to understand that are typical 9-to-5ers living a regular life that haven't had a chance to experience those things. They just don't understand. So I'm definitely glad you brought that to our attention here. So, and with that said, Max, the Archons are not talked about hardly at all. Many people haven't even heard of the Archons. They have no idea what they are. The research that I've done, Archons might actually be influencing these very aristocratic individuals that have so much power in politics and the media and certain financial aspects like banking, etc. What's your take on the Archons, and how did you come to find out about them?
Well, the Archons is another. I mean, it's another rabbit hole. I mean, is it true? Is the question? I mean, this comes from the Nag Hammadi Library. It's a very, very interesting concept. The story that's presented by John Lash, his translation of the Nag Hammadi Library. I really do like to give John credit for that, because I believe that anybody who's really talking about the Archons and the concept of mind parasites has got the information from John Lash's book, because I'll be damned if you can find the story clearly outlined in the Nag Hammadi Library. It's very, very difficult to put it all together from the Nag Hammadi Library. But I mean, the question is, is this true? Is this another red herring? You know, I think with all of the things that are going on, like I said, the easiest way to hide a conspiracy is to build a conspiracy culture around it. And I think the real conspiracy is the concept that we as small individual people do not have any power, and that there are others who have authority over us, that there is anything that influences our ability to be good people. You know, I think this is the real conspiracy. I mean, sure, we can go down the path of archons, but then we get into speculative area that I cannot confirm. All I can offer you is my opinion on what may be happening from the perspective of the possibility of the archons being real, because I cannot prove anything. And I've got to the point now with some of the stuff that's been raging across the net lately, I've got to the point where I don't believe anything anymore. You know, once we've established some freedom and we have the freedom to find out what's going on, then I will believe what's going on. You know, but what I think we're facing here is an opportunity for us to realize that all throughout this control grid, no matter who's at the top, no matter who runs it, no matter what systems that have been put in place, what exists here is people. It's just people. And with bills and stuff that people are writing and legislation people are writing, what they're doing is they're putting little squiggly marks on pieces of paper with biros and stuff. It doesn't mean anything, because there's only one law, and that is do no harm. And even in their system, I mean, I went through this on my last radio show, if you really want to look at their system and look at their legal system and pretend parts of it are real, well, okay, there's two types of law in their system. There's civil law and there's criminal law. And in criminal law, that's there to protect people from having harm done to them. If you have harm that is inflicted upon you, then that is a criminal offense, and the one who perpetrated that harm can be subject to charges. Well, look at your life and look at the state of the world. Look at all the wars that are created by our governments and ask yourself what governments do. Governments cause harm. That's what they do. Therefore, governments are criminal organizations. So you know, we can deal with it that way as well. They prove themselves to be criminal organizations because there's people in the country that are in a state of harm that's been caused by government. So there's ways we can do this. You know, is this all influenced by the archons? I don't know. I don't know. I can only speculate. That's the thing with all of these things. You know, the whatever the big controlling influence it is, what it's doing is it's teaching us and teaching us to believe that there is this hugely powerful controlling hand that we can't do anything about, that we're just little people and we are of no consequence. And I do not believe that to be true. I believe that what we're facing here, basically, even if the archons are real and there is this terrible dark force behind all this, now I don't know, but even if there is, the interface is people. Well, what is putting all this in stuff is people who write stuff on paper. And ultimately, these are people that we actually employ to manage our infrastructure in a responsible manner, and they're doing a damn awful job, you know. So we need to step into our power and find out what's going on and find out what the controlling hand is, and then I will believe what the controlling hand is.
Now, in Australia, the gun regulations out there are very strict. Is it even possible for a citizen or a civilian out there to own a gun, or do you actually have to be a part of the military?
Oh no, you can own a gun if you live in the country. You need a snake gun, you get a 10-10 shotgun or whatever. I mean, if you belong to a pistol club, you can buy pistols. I mean, you can't get licenses to get firearms. You can't get automatic weapons. I don't think you can get repeating pistols or anything like that. It'd be a limit to the amount of cartridges, you know, bullets you can have in the magazine. But yeah, you can get guns. You just got to jump through several hoops and several criminal checks and background checks before you can do it. And you've got to belong, if you want a handgun, you've got to belong to a pistol club.
And do you think that the powers that be, the control, many aspects of the world influenced Australia to do that? Wasn't it in the 70s or 80s when there was a mass murdering sequence? Some guy went out and shot a bunch of people with a gun, and then it officially, you know, shortly after that became illegal or very difficult to own a gun unless you went through certain aspects.
Yeah, I think it was like mid-90s, I think it was. It was the Port Arthur massacre. It was the worst massacre in the world at the time by a single gunman. Of course, he didn't do it. There's no way he did it. There's no way that whole thing wasn't staged by a professional gunman. I mean, even if it went down the way it did at all, I mean, like I said, I don't believe anything anymore that I hear. But I think it was done as a test case. And also, what they've got planned for Australia. I mean, during that same administration, the Howard administration, in that same year, about a couple of months before that mass shooting happened, John Howard, basically sold most of Australia's food bowl to China and sold all this coal to China. And I think it was actually paid for as well. So the destruction of Australia is already, it's already paid for. It's already done. The coal's already sold. So, I think they figured, well, you know, the Australian people aren't going to like this, so we better disarm them now and let's try this tactic and see how well it works. So they had a mass shooting and they just disarmed the population. Bang, just like sheeple, they gave them up overnight. They just said, oh my God, we can't have this, not in Australia. So bang, they were gone. So, you know, they've tried this in America. It hasn't really worked. You know, they've been trying to use the same technique in America. But, I mean, a lot of what goes on in Australia here, it's a test case. It's like a... it's kind of like an incubator for the rest of the world. They try a lot of stuff out here first before they try it out in other places. So I think it was just a test case, and it was to make sure we didn't have any arms for what is coming around the corner, probably around about next year, middle of next year or the year after.
Well, and you bring up China. Every time there's a shooting here in America, somebody in the Chinese media or Chinese government comes out and says, oh, I feel so bad for the American people. If only they had gun regulations where they wouldn't allow normal civilians to have guns, this wouldn't happen and everybody would be okay. We feel so sad to the families and people that lost their lives from not having gun control in America.
And yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, why would they care?
Yeah, well, the elite love the Chinese system. Look at how regimented those people are. They love the Chinese system. They want to put that all in place in all of our countries. I mean, you think about it, China owns America anyway. I mean, it's pretty well gone. And if they foreclose on the loan, well, you know, everything's going to turn into the Chinese system, isn't it? But they're not going to want to do that before, you know, the gun control comes in. So, yeah, of course, you've got Chinese pushing for gun control. Chinese kind of a bit of a sleeping giant in the background there, China, but the elite absolutely love the Chinese system. They reckon it's really, really good, and they'd love to see the whole world run that way.
And, I mean, do you think that the elite, the 0.00001%...
The catastocracy.
catastocracy. Do you think that they actually control and run the entire world, not just the United States of America and China, but pretty much every country and government within the planet?
Like, they control every country with a central bank. They do it through the financial system. They control the world through the financial system. That's how you control governments. That's how you control people, is through the financial system. This is why they're going out. This is why, you know, George Bush named his axis of evil was every country that didn't have a Rothschild-controlled central bank. You know, so that's how they do it. And I think there's a central bank in China that's run by the same people. I mean, it's all the same thing. A lot of it is theater for the masses, you know. But that's how they do it. They do it through control of the monetary system. So that's something people don't understand. Ken likes to say, my brother Ken O'Keefe often says in his talks, the thing with these people is that they have an unlimited supply of money. You know, think about that. Think about what you could do with an unlimited supply of money. You know, every dollar someone spends trying to do something against you, you can beat them 1 billion to 1, and you can do it every minute of every day. Think about that. That's how they control the planet. They do it by marginalizing different countries financially and controlling the flow of resources around the planet, controlling the flow of food. Even back in 1974, I think in the National Security Memorandum, Henry Kissinger said that they will use food as a weapon. And there's various ways you can do that, through controlling the flow of it, marginalizing different countries, by creating GM food, changing the food so it looks good but contains no nutrients. There's all different ways you can do it. You can use food, genetically modify the food, to genetically modify the people who eat the food. So there's all different ways you can use food as a weapon. And they're doing all sorts of stuff like that. So that's how they do it, brother. They do it through control of the money system, because through control of the money system and finances and grants and foundations and stuff that look after different organizations, you can control all governments, you can control all military, all industry, all power supplies, all the flow of food, the flow of resources. You control everything by controlling the money supply.
And I'm so glad you brought up genetically modified foods. Most of the genetically modified foods out there, because of the fact that they are created to allow more pesticides and herbicides on them and still grow prosperously, that's what makes them bad. There are some genetically modified foods which might be good for you, but overall, I would say the majority of them are not beneficial to health. And you've got companies out there like Monsanto, where back in the Vietnam War, Monsanto was actually making Agent Orange to, you know, poison enormous amounts of land and people. I've met people that were in the Vietnam War, and they're screwed up. They're 65, 70 years old, and they're like, they're 95, you know? I mean, their lives are destroyed. They have to be on medication. They have to go to the hospital every couple of weeks to get their blood tested, and it's just horrible. But now Monsanto is one of the leading producers of chemicals and seeds for the food that people eat, the food that their children eat in schools, and D2, which is actually a derivative of Agent Orange. It's very similar to Agent Orange, but some of the toxicity has been taken out, is the number one pesticide used for corn crops. And it just, it blows my mind, Max.
It is. It's mind-boggling. These people who produced all these toxic chemicals, let's put them in charge of our food and let's let them modify the food with all their toxic chemicals. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That's what we do. That's what we do. It's incredible. Now, you get some Monsanto food. You get a Monsanto corn or Monsanto fruit or whatever. You put it on the ground and you watch it. Watch what happens. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. No ants will touch it. None of the birds will come and eat it. Nothing will eat it. Nothing will eat this food. I'm like, does that tell you anything, people? Nothing else will eat this food. They say they've made food that's pest resistant. What does that mean? It means nothing else will eat the food because there's something wrong with the food. Oh, no, but it's good for humans. It's good for humans. We just put this little bit of pesticide. They actually make food that releases its own pesticide to keep the insects away. You know, I mean, this is pure madness, absolutely madness. I mean, even you get some candy and throw some candy on the ground. You know, when I was a kid, you'd drop a candy, you'd be covered in ants in a minute. You know, throw some candy on the ground now, the ants will make a beeline around it. They'll walk around the food, like within, like half an inch around it. They don't want to go near it, you know. So, yeah, they know there's something going on with this food and they will not touch it. And yet this is what we're being fed. This is very, very dark. This is very dangerous and people need to look into this. And also, when you look at the studies of genetically modified food with all the animals that they've done, especially tests on rats and things, they found that after three generations of eating only organically modified or genetically modified food, these species are unable to reproduce. So, and we're seeing people now, they're having very, very hard time having children, you know, because after three generations, you'll find that you can't breed. And this is another part of the depopulation agenda.
Well, and even the vaccines and the pharmaceutical industry, they call
everything.
It the healthcare industry, but really, shouldn't it be called the death care industry? I mean, let's look at how many people are killed every year due to pharmaceutical drugs or some prescription that a doctor gave them that had some type of allergic reaction with their body.
Well, yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. The health industry is about controlling the state of your health, not making sure that you're in good health, just controlling the state of it. You know, it's like they do this. They label these things this way, so it sounds like it's good for you, but really it's not. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, not all of these pharmaceuticals are ridiculous. I mean, every doctor that gives you a pharmaceutical drug that may have side effects is in breach of his Hippocratic Oath. Is he not? Doesn't he swear not to give you anything that may hurt you? Well, how come he's giving you these drugs that have all these side effects? He's in breach of his oath. He should be dismissed. He's no doctor. You know? I mean, cannabis, mate. Cannabis cures just about everything. Cannabis used to be used as a base for all medicines. I've cured throat cancer. I've cured bowel cancer. I've cured stomach cancer, lung cancer. I've cured skin cancer on myself. I've got an autistic child showing a 70 to 80% increase in motor skills, all from using cannabis oil. I mean, what's wrong with this? I mean, why is this banned? You know, the banning of cannabis itself is a crime against humanity. I mean, this is an incredibly powerful medicine. And that's another thing we can use. I mean, it's a crime against humanity. And really, I mean, there was a case here recently where there was an autistic child that showed incredible. It was having 60 seizures a day and then was given oil by her father and was down to two or three seizures a week using cannabis oil. And when the minister was told, I mean, they arrested the guy and said you'd be breaking the law. And when the minister said, well, yes, I can see that this is actually curing the child, but I still agree that it must remain illegal. You know, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you going to go along with this? What are you telling me? That because you wrote down on a piece of paper that I'm not allowed to cure my daughter, that you actually think I'm going to do that? I'm going to go along with that? And are you telling me that if I do cure my daughter, that you're going to send a gang of armed thugs to my house to drag me off and put me in a cage? Are you actually telling me this is law? Are you telling me this is how our legal system works? Is really, and do you seriously think I'm going to do that? That I'm just going to let my daughter suffer because you wrote some stuff down on a piece of paper? Because if you think I'm going to do that, I think you need to be taken for psychiatric evaluation because you're an idiot. You got rocks in your head. And if this is the way our legal system works, well, I think we need to examine our legal system so that we have the ability to cure ourselves. Why is the government causing this harm to my daughter? I mean, this is the way this needs to be approached. Just call it for what it is. You know, if people start standing up for themselves for these issues, brother, then we're going to make a difference. You know, start standing up and calling things for what they are in every aspect of your lives, and do not allow yourself to be controlled. Do not allow yourself to even believe that anybody has authority over you. If that authority is causing harm, then what the hell are you doing by going along with it? Just question it in the right way. You don't have to get violent or anything like that, but just ask the right questions. I mean, ask a question like that to the judge. That's what I would say to the judge that dared to rule that I could not cure my daughter. You got rocks in your head. You need to be taken for psychiatric evaluation. It's as simple as that. And how dare you call yourself a judge? And how dare you call this a legal system? I mean, this is a legal system that's allowing people to die. This is causing harm. Isn't that a crime under your legal system? I mean, what are we doing here? Are we talking in paradoxes? Are we going in circles? What's going on here? I mean, people need to look at this. You know what I mean? And just call things out for what they are. I mean, stop beating around the bush, stop being politically correct, and stop believing that anybody has authority over you. I mean, that's our problem. That's the big conspiracy, is that there's this big controlling hand, and we have to do what it says on paper. It's this paper-based matrix that we're living in. It's ridiculous, you know?
Well, I mean, if you have a robe and several framed pictures behind you or several framed scholarships behind you that say you have a degree as a judge or in business or in law, then obviously you have authority over somebody that doesn't. I mean, if you have a white jacket and some doctor tools, then obviously you know more than somebody else, and you should be able to tell them that even though the pharmaceutical drugs that you prescribe them is causing side effects, like they're telling you, man, doctor, I've got headaches, I've got diarrhea, I feel horrible when I wake up in the morning. The doctor's like, well, that's okay because it's good for you. You should feel that way because the drugs are actually helping you. Well, doctor, I feel sick. Well, the drugs are supposed to have those side effects on you. So don't take it personally. Just continue to take the drugs. And then, like you said, people that have children that have been probably, affected from the thimerosal and squalene that they are injected with at birth from these vaccines, and it causes an adverse reaction to them. So you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, all the pharmaceutical drugs that you're prescribing me are making my child worse. So I'm giving them hemp oil. Oh, well, you're going to jail because that's against the law. You can't do that. You can't help your child. That's not an option. You have to continue to force feed them drugs because the system says so.
Yeah, it's a weird reality that we live in.
It's the Twilight Zone.
It is. It's the Twilight Zone. It's ridiculous. Of course, how they get you with all this is through the legal name and all that sort of stuff. I mean, we can go into that, but this is another rabbit hole. But people say there's all this lose the name stuff, lose the name and you'll be free. These people lose the name and they turn their back on the system. And essentially, they're contributing to the system by turning their back on it. You go into that sort of a situation where I was just talking about, you go and you say your name and because you agreed it's your name and you agreed to comply by our legal system and all this sort of stuff. I'll go in there and say, well, that name is the calling that I use. Yeah, it is the legal name that I use, but I am not the name, so we can discuss that later. But what I'm here to discuss is the fact that you are allowing my daughter to die because you wrote something down on paper. See, they're not using this whole lose the name thing and turning and facing the system with that information. They're turning their back on the system rather than being a disruptive influence in the system by simply calling the system out truthfully. They're turning their back on it, and by doing so, they are actually contributing to the perpetuation of the system. And they're believing that they're free. You know what I mean? So this is another rabbit hole that people have gone down. People simply aren't applying themselves to this situation with the knowledge that they have. This is one of the big problems that we've got. But if people start standing up in every single aspect of their lives and realizing that they have power, they are people, no one has any more value than they do. We all have equal value. And we do not have rulers. We have people who we appointed to manage our society for us in a responsible manner. And if you look at the world, I'd say, well, they're doing a damn awful job. Exhibit A, the Earth. Have a look at the place. You know, so we need to stand up and call things for what they are, and that's how we're going to bring about change, regardless of what lies behind this control mechanism and this puppet show that we've got in front of us. We need to call the puppet show out for what it is, and we need to step back into our humanity, and we need to do it quickly. We need to do it quickly because we're facing a clear and present danger from this system. It's locking itself down. And we continually want to know who they are at the top that we can point the finger at, rather than simply standing up and addressing the system itself from the place where we stand. And if we do that, we can make a difference. I really believe we can. I mean, if you get a few people standing up and calling things out like this in public, and I do it as publicly as I can, but that's very difficult to get the information out to people. But I've been sharing this sort of stuff on the radio show for like 8 years now, nearly 8 years, you know. And if we can do this and we can start doing it publicly enough, we're going to see that this creates a spark in people's minds. I mean, if you stand up and you call the truth in front of someone's face, the truth of what this situation really is, like I'm saying with this young autistic girl, you call that out for what it is publicly enough, and you're going to have the whole population stand up and go, yeah, exactly, this guy is right, and this politician needs to explain themselves. And that's going to expose the whole facade for what it is, you know, what we've been sold here. But people need to start doing it. They need to put down their political correctness and put down their fear, forget about this paper-based reality and use the knowledge that they've got, all of these different movements and all these different alternative movements out there, need to use the knowledge that they've got to turn and call this system out for what it is. Stop trying to put Band-Aids on symptoms. Turn and address the problem, which has created the symptom to begin with, because the problem is the abusive relationship that we have with our government. We need to address this abusive relationship because that's what it is. There's people in there that are exercising powers they simply do not have. And we're believing that they do because they write their rubbish on pieces of paper. We protest and we do all this sort of stuff so we get the police after us. But if we stand up and call things properly and honestly in the way they are, even a lot of the police are going to go, well, yeah, this guy makes sense. You'll get the corrupt ones at the top that want to toe the line and all this sort of stuff, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You put the seed in people's minds that they actually have power and that what is happening here is wrong. And if we stand up and call it, then we can change it. You know what I mean?
Sure. You know, it's unfortunate because you brought up the fact that if everybody or if enough people get together and call things out for what it is, then things will start to change. But, you know, let's get into vaccines here for a second. The HPV or whatever vaccine that was really pushed upon little kids several years ago, especially in Texas, Mr. Governor Perry at the time made it a mandate that unless you had a vaccine exemption, your child had to be injected with this poison. And even the people that created the vaccine now have came out and said, hey, it doesn't work. It actually causes problems. I mean, there's so many physical issues now that people have that were injected with this HPV vaccine, and they were forced to, and they didn't have a choice. They were children. They didn't know. And the parents, because of their ignorance, and when I say that, I'm not saying that to be rude. It just means that they were uninformed. They said, yeah, it's okay. Take the vaccine. The governor says it's good for you, and the school says it's good for you, so just take it. And now they're having serious consequences, and people are starting to come out and expose that. There's millions and millions and millions of dollars that are given out every single year to victims that were physically destroyed because of this vaccine and others. Yet at a global scale, people still don't give a shit. People are still like, well, you know, there's always that case or there's always a certain issue when things happen. But look at smallpox. Smallpox was eradicated because of vaccines. Yet that same smallpox vaccine that was given to hundreds of millions of people actually has created cancer, not only to the people that were injected with it, but to their children.
Exactly. Exactly. But when we try to address this, again, we try to put a band-aid on the symptoms. See, the symptom is the problem. These children have gotten sick. And what we try to do is we go after the company that delivered the vaccine and all this sort of stuff. And we try to get sort of all this sort of movement happening to get compensation, all this sort of stuff. The company that delivered the vaccine isn't the problem. The problem is the legislation the government put in place, which made you take the vaccine. You see what I'm saying? This is an abusive office. This is what I'm trying to do with Full Circle Project. I've got this project going on called the Full Circle Project. And I'm trying to get everybody to link up together and see that the way, what you've got to do, whatever symptom it is you're working on, you've got to address the problem that created the symptom, which is the legislation. See, that problem that you've just outlined there is a direct result of an abusive relationship between you and government. This politician has gone there and mandated that you must poison your child. Yes, you must inject this vaccine and ensure there is a possibility your child may die or may get sick. They have mandated that that is okay. That is causing harm. That is an abusive relationship. That is what has created the problem. It isn't the vaccine company. The vaccine company is out to make money. It's viable. It's more profitable to do it that way, and that's all they care about. They're a board of directors. They don't know. You're just a number on a screen. You're just a digit. You're just a statistic. They don't care about any of that sort of stuff. All they care about is balancing books. The problem is the legislation at the top that created the situation to begin with. And if that problem is not addressed, then the situation is simply going to continue. It's the same with the fracking. You're trying to address fracking. You're protesting against these mining companies when really it's the legislation which gave the mining company the ability to come and frack your country, which is creating the problem. It's the same with the austerity measures. It's the same with whatever, you know. All of these situations, every problem we've got, all the wars on the planet, these are all started by this abusive relationship we have with government. Every problem we've got, doesn't matter which company or corporation is causing it, it comes because of legislation, something that some sociopath has written on paper, which has allowed this to happen. And because we think what's written on the paper controls our lives, we allow it to happen. Oh, gee, you have to come and you're allowed to come and destroy the groundwater in my neighborhood because this guy wrote on paper that it's okay for you to do so and there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm going to go and protest the mining company. I'm going to block him. I'm going to stop all this stuff rather than going and dealing with the legislation, this abusive relationship. This guy needs to show cause why he should not be held accountable for the damage that he's done. Because even with things like coal seam gas, I mean, look at this. This is destroying groundwater. Water is the stuff of life. It's the stuff of life. Water is therefore essential to the security of your nation. Therefore, any threat to groundwater must be seen as a threat to national security. And yet here you have your groundwater being threatened by legislation, not by the company, but by legislation that your people you've employed into positions of management have put in place. And what you're trying to do is go and protest the company rather than dealing with this threat to national security, which has been created by your employees that are abusing their office in government. You see what I'm saying? How all this ties together? And this is what I'm trying to do, or we are trying to do with Full Circle Project, is to get people to readjust their thinking and readjust their perspective a little bit to turn and address the system. And as ineffective and fictional as this legal system is, while they have to pretend it's real and while the masses still think it's real, it's a tool that we can use to get people's attention to this abusive relationship and hopefully do something about it. You know what I'm saying? It always comes back to the same thing, brother. People just have to readjust their perspective of what the problem is. We've got to deal with its puppet show. And if you want to deal with that, you want to deal with the vaccines, you want to deal with the fracking, you want to deal with all of this stuff, and you want to get them out of power straight away, well, what you've got to understand is that all of these situations that have been created have all been created by the same puppet show. And if you want to get rid of the whole puppet show in one fell swoop, again, there's Palestine, and that's the key to do it. And if you do that, you fix up all the vaccination problems, fix up all the fracking, you fix up everything because you get the entire cacistocracy out of power and you put them somewhere else. Put them on Christmas Island or something. Just make them go away somewhere, you know. But this is the key. This is the key. And we can address all these situations by readjusting our focus of what is causing these problems and look for a simple solution to them. And the simple global solution, which deals with all the politicians, the fact that they're supporting war crimes, and if they want to believe their paper is real and the rubbish that they write on paper, they want to inflict it on us. Okay, well, it says on this piece of paper that it was written years ago by people who are far more trustworthy than you that what you're doing, all of you, is a war crime. So we're going back to that, and let's deal with that. And then we'll just reinstate the U.S. Constitution and start from scratch again, shall we? That's what needs to happen, you know what I mean?
Sure. And I want to jump to another subject here, which is a little bit, I guess you could say, in the woo-woo factor. So if you just want to give us your opinion, that's, you know, that'd be fantastic. I'd really appreciate it, Max. The intergalactic force that many people feel, you know, some people believe in extraterrestrials, some people believe in the reptilian agenda, you know, the grays, the mantids, the archons, whatever. But I recently had the opportunity to go out to Dulce, New Mexico, and I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but it is the location, supposedly, of the infamous Dulce Underground Base outside or underneath the Archuleta Mesa. And it is on native land, so in order to get out to the majority of that space, you actually have to have a tribal leader take you out there unless you're a native to the land. But I had the opportunity to speak with many locals out there and actually get a lot of video footage of the mesa that most people have probably never seen because I had an escort out there. But when I was out there, the people that I talked to, I asked them, hey, have you ever seen any UFOs? Have you seen any strange anomalies? And every person that I asked in that area said, yes, I have seen lights that I cannot explain. People like Phil Schneider came out and said, hey, I was a part of this underground base, and we worked with, you know, specific extraterrestrials that are actually working in conjunction with the U.S. military. Do you believe that extraterrestrials exist? And if you do, do you believe that they actually work with the government and could possibly be here on the planet right now?
Well, again, this is we get into very highly speculative area that I'm kind of a person, I'm kind of pretty pragmatic, and if I don't have first-hand knowledge of something, I find it very difficult to present anything as truth. And in the case of extraterrestrials, and if this sort of these sort of possibilities are happening, all I really have to go on is what I've read in books and magazines by other people who have put forth their speculation and conjecture and whatever. And maybe some of it's true, maybe some of it isn't, I don't know. But all I have to go on is what they've written. Now, I can take what they've written and I can formulate my own opinion of it based on my speculation and conjecture, and I can put that out there as a possibility, which I believe will further muddy the waters, because all I've got to go on is other people's speculation and conjecture. What I will say is that in the year 2000, I was with a group of people at 10:15 in the morning on the first floor of a building, and we saw an object in the sky. It was a long, long way away. My father ran an airport, and I'm pretty used to looking at planes in the sky, and I'm pretty used to looking at things through atmospheric distortion. I know how big a jumbo jet looks from a certain a distance, and how much atmospheric distortion should be there. And what I saw in the sky was a very, very large object. There was a fair amount of atmospheric distortion, and it was about as big as a 5-cent piece to my eyes. So this was a very, very large object, a lot of atmospheric distortion, so it must have been at least as big as a football field, I would judge. It was a dome-shaped object it was a round object with a dome on top and a light, a little dome underneath and a big pulsing light. It was in the sky for at least 5 minutes, and then it just flicked out like someone had flicked the switch and it was gone. So do UFOs exist? Well, what I saw was a UFO. It was unidentified. It was definitely flying, and it was definitely an object. So it was a UFO. Who was driving it? Who was powering it? Where did it come from? I have absolutely no idea. All I can do is speculate. So this is why I don't bring up aliens and ETs on the show, because I've got that is a first-hand knowledge experience that I can convey to you. And anything else I can offer you on the topic is my speculation based on what I may or may not have read and how true that may or may not have been. So I think to even offer an opinion on this sort of topic of what I think may be going on and what my beliefs may be, well, I'm still on the fence with all of that, because like I said, I can prove anything you want me to prove. If you give me a week, I will present a presentation to prove this world is controlled by whoever you want to believe it's controlled by. Because all of the information has been put out there all over the internet for you to go down any rabbit hole you want to go down and to be able to create a believable presentation to convince someone that this is what's happening. And frankly, like I said earlier, when we've established the freedom to find out what's going on, then I will believe what's going on. But at the moment, all I can do is speculate in that field. So I hope you'll take that as my answer.
Sure. And One question I'd like to ask you also, Max, is what's your belief on spirituality?
That's a big question. In what context?
Well, you know, many people are Christian, some people are agnostic, some people are Gnostic, some people are atheists. I mean, you've got so many different belief systems out there as far as spirituality. Some people don't know, etc. I guess that would be an agnostic. But what do you feel the purpose is of man?
It's a game. It's a game. It's a test. It's a game. Here's a concept for you. Okay. If you break it down to a basic level, what do you got in the universe? You've got energy. No matter what the universe is, you know, we've got a whole flat Earth crew out there at the moment. Even the flat Earth movement, whatever. Basically, you bring it down to its basic atomic structure or whatever. You've got energy. It doesn't matter what the shape of the chessboard is. It's made of energy. Ultimately, that's where it all comes from. In my experience through my meditations, things I've experienced in ceremony and memories that I have, past life stuff, I've had a lot of really, really weird past life stuff come through in the last couple of months. Bizarre, really bizarre stuff. And
How do you experience that?
Yeah, it's been ridiculous for me in the last couple of months. I actually had a ceremonial experience when I was in Peru a couple of months ago, which was just profound, a whole bunch of past life stuff. But that's a whole show. So, in my experience, in my understanding of what I am and what this is basically a conscious projection of whatever this universe is. The energy itself that makes up all matter is conscious. The energy itself is conscious. To me, that is God. That is whatever you want to call it. God's a name, we'll give it. You know, the source, whatever you want to call it. To me, the conscious stuff that makes up all reality is what, where consciousness comes from. What I am is a vessel that is harvesting one frequency of that consciousness that I experience as Max from the perspective of Max. And that's what I've got to go on. This reality, basically, if you want to break it down to component parts again, if you look at what this test is, it's a test of emotion. There's two parameters, love and fear. That's it. That's really the whole spectrum. It all stems between love and fear and all of the different boundary, all the different things, different scales that happen between love and fear. All emotions come from those two base emotions. I mean, this is absolutely a given. What this is a battle between love and fear. The whole fabric of this reality, whatever the universe is, whatever shape it takes, it doesn't matter. It can be anything that the conscious projection of this mind of God, which is what we are. We are like each one of us is like a thought in the mind of God, here participating on this stage in this reality, and the fabric of this reality is compassion. That is what binds the cells together. You couldn't even have solid matter if the cells did not have, or the atoms did not have, a compassionate relationship for each other. So if you could express matter as an emotion, the emotion of matter is compassion. And the interface with this reality is empathy. That's the key. That is how you interface with the compassion. This is another reason why Gaza is the key. I believe that in all the lives that I've lived, there's always been a situation that has happened which has provided mankind with the key to its salvation, but we've always ignored it because we've never interfaced with the compassion through the empathy that we've been provided with. This whole thing is a test. It's a lesson of how to interface with compassion using empathy. Now, that probably sounds really, really out there to people, but this is what I'm seeing with all of this. And the construct can be anything you want it to be. It'll be anything the projective consciousness projects it to be. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is, how do we escape from the construct? How do we get out of the construct and get to something more, whatever you want to call it, godly, whatever? How do we return to source, whatever you want to call it? What we need to do is to interface with the fabric of this reality through the correct interface, which is empathy. And that's what we don't have. That's why this system has been divided to be so divisive. We've got all these different social structures and all these different peers of existence and all this sort of stuff. You know, and the way we judge each other, money, it separates us, and everything about this society is designed to separate us and remove us from empathy. We can't even give to each other anymore because time is money. Well, I just spent time creating this object, and now I'm going to give it away. What am I going to do? How am I going to eat? You've got to pay me for it. So I can't give to you. I'm not allowed to give to you because I can't afford to give to you because I've got to live in this system because I've got to pay to be alive. This whole thing, it's all designed to remove us from the correct interface with this reality, which is empathy. Okay. Which is again why Palestine is the key. That's it. Once we've developed our empathy for the human beings that have been sitting there suffering in this hellhole since 2007 saying, hey, we're here. We're actually alive. We're people. And if you go there, I've met these people. I've gone to Gaza. These are the most beautiful people you'll ever meet. These are the kindest, the most sincere, almost childlike people. They're so innocent and so beautiful. You know, they're wonderful, wonderful people with such light in their eyes. And we have absolutely no empathy for them because we've been taught not to have that. And if we have that empathy for those people and we stand up and call that for what it is, we take every single puppet in this control grid out of action in one day, straight away. We can do it. You know what I'm saying? This whole thing is a spiritual test. The whole thing is a spiritual test, you know. And this prison can be whatever you want it to be, whatever the projection is, whatever the collective believes the prison is. But it's how you get out of the prison. And the only way you can get out of the prison is by interfacing with the fabric of the prison from the right, using the right interface, which again, like I said, is empathy. That's my spiritual understanding. How's that?
Hey, fantastic. I appreciate the input on that. It's been a pleasure to speak with you tonight, Max. You've given us a lot of good information and positive insight that I think that our listeners can take and use to their advantage to evolve spiritually and physically. I mean, this has been fantastic. If you would please, before you leave, would you give our listeners your website, your YouTube channel, and a ways to contact you or find your information?
Well, our website is thecrowhouse.com, and the website for Full Circle Project, if anyone wants to sign up for that, is fullcircleproject.net, and this is a mechanism that we're using to link everybody up together, all the activists together. If you can't find anyone in your area, go sign up to the project, use the community connector, find someone in your area to form a discussion action group with, and then turn your focus to address the root cause of the problem in your area. And we start these little grass fires all around the planet. So that's fullcircleproject.net. And my website is thecrowhouse.com. You'll find links to my YouTube channel and everything there. My YouTube channel is The Crow House as well. There's another one, AOD Scarecrow. You'll find all the links there on thecrowhouse.com. And thanks very much for having me on. It's been an interesting discussion.
Absolutely. It's been great to have you on the show tonight, Max. I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
No problem. Thank you.